Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. I would say this is one of the most difficult shows of my 20-year career. There is so much horror in the world right now that it is difficult even for me to balance the act. And let me tell you something. It's bad enough that two subhuman Palestinians with axes and knives and guns hacked to death four unarmed Israelis during a morning prayer service. It's bad enough that the subhumans did that. But what's even more insulting and more difficult for me personally to bear was the speech by the demonic president of the United States of America. And I choose my words very carefully. I don't know what it's going to take for Jewish liberal voters in America to awaken to the fact that they are not represented by the Democrat Party. They're not represented by Barack Obama. If you listen to the speech of Hussein Obama, where he doesn't say Palestinians did this, and he not once says Jews were butchered, instead he uses the moral equivalency of the academic left. The moral equivalency of the academic left, which is being used in Ferguson, Missouri, where the thuggish thief is being compared, morally compared, with the police officer who fought for his life. Wherever you turn, the illegitimate academic left has perverted the language and perverted morality itself. So listen now to the deceitful snake in clip three.
Just make mention of the horrific attacks that took place in Jerusalem.
Attacks?
We know that two attackers sent
attackers, not
attacked innocent worshippers in a synagogue.
Not Jews.
During their morning prayers. Obviously, we condemn in the strongest terms these attacks. A number of people were wounded, and four people were killed, including three American citizens.
If you deconstruct what the snake just said, you have to ask yourself, how much more does he have to do until he finally tells you, in no uncertain terms, that he's playing for the other side? I mean, what has to happen? And I'm going to direct this question to Jewish liberal listeners in particular who may not even know what's going on under their noses. Has Obama's speech today changed your view of him? That's one topic. Obama responds to Jerusalem synagogue attack by Palestinians saying too many Palestinians have died. That's number one. And it reminds me of the fact that had these Jews in the synagogue been armed with sidearms, all of them wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have run out screaming with their prayer shawls stuck to their feet. They would have shot the Palestinians dead in their tracks. I don't know what it's going to take for Jews to understand that they're at war and that they have to defend themselves. I just don't understand what world they live in. I don't understand for the life of me what it takes for people to wake up to the fact that they have to defend themselves. A lot of good the prayers did them, huh? Where was God while the Palestinians were running around the synagogue with axes? Did the Bible save them? Did the prayer shawl save them? Did the genuflecting save the Jews? Did doing everything politically, religiously correct save them from the axes that came down on their head? No, the only thing that would have stopped them were the Palestinians would have been a bullet in the head. Now, the Israelis learned this in the 1940s, where with one hand they had an Uzi in one hand and a Bible in the other. They learned it. The forefathers of the Israelis learned it. But the country has been so infiltrated with liberalism, many of whom are just there to ride off the fat of the land, they expect somebody else to take care of them. So that's one story. Now you got the Ferguson story, which is being infiltrated by Palestinians and Arabs who want to turn it into an Arab issue. Did you know that? Oh, didn't see that story, the connection? Didn't see that story? The old riots? Now, yesterday on the Savage Nation, I said to you that the federal government has the power to arrest the agitators in advance of them causing harm to people or property? And I found the answer to that. Many of you said, oh, are you against freedom of assembly? I said, of course not. But when you have people who are hashtagging that they want violence in couch terms, you arrest them. What are you sitting and waiting for them to kill people for? We know who they are. They have names. Their organizations have names. But there's a federal act. Forget my anger. Forget my outrage. There is an anti-riot act on the books. 18 U.S. Code 2101, which makes it a crime to travel or to use interstate communications, including social media, one, to incite a riot, or two, to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, or three, to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, or four, to aid or abet any person in inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot, or committing any act of violence in furtherance of a riot. That's a riot act, the anti-riot act. And they're preparing to riot, arrest them in advance. But why is the Attorney General and the so-called Department of Justice not arresting them in advance? Because the law goes further. It states that the Department of Justice shall proceed as speedily as possible with a prosecution of such persons. But they've been rioting since August, haven't they? The Ferguson rioters have been rioting since August, and Holder did nothing. Instead, they had a secret meeting with Obama after the election where he said, stay the course. And Holder, the disgraced attorney general, has not only stopped the rioters, he has protected the rights of the potential rioters and the rioters, and he expressed sympathy for the Brown family. And Obama's comments have stoked racial tensions. Did you hear that? Speaking at the UN, Obama equated the Ferguson shooting with world crises like the head cutting of ISIS and the Arab-Israeli conflicts. In a speech to the Congressional Black Caucus, Obama complained that America's law enforcement targets are targeting those walking while black. So we have lawbreakers in the highest places in this country. And the Ferguson race riots are being orchestrated by the government itself. As I said to you, in my opinion, in order to pass amnesty for tens of millions of illegal aliens, he will use the riots as a cover to pass amnesty. Meanwhile, the clueless, lead-footed Republicans are really moving ahead rapidly on the oil pipeline. Now, that's the most important thing on their agenda. Right after the election, number one, pipeline. Not stopping amnesty, but the pipeline. That's the biggest thing on their plate. Now, you ask yourself what Obama's doing in insulting Jews around the world with his speech this morning, equating the murderers to the murdered, not mentioning the word Jew once, not mentioning the word Palestinian once. Listen to clip four now of the snake.
So this is tragedy for both nations, Israel as well as the United States, and our hearts go out to the families who obviously are undergoing enormous grief right now. Secretary Kerry has spoken to Prime Minister Netanyahu. President Abbas has strongly condemned the attacks. Tragically, this is not the first loss of life that we have seen in recent months. Too many Israelis have died. Too many Palestinians have died.
So again, moral equivalency. There it is. So what is Obama setting up here? Well, let's deal with this together. First of all, Obama's a young man. And assuming he does retire at the end of his term in a couple of years, he has a long life ahead of him. You think he's going to retire? You think he's going to take up golf? You think he's going to become a talk show host? Do you think a megalomaniac like him is going to just settle down and write a book? No, he wants to take over the world. He's angling for the job of the United Nations presidency. And so, therefore, every speech that he gives, you must listen to it through the ears of the massive populations of Muslims and Africans in the world and understand that Obama is speaking to them. He's not speaking to you. In fact, he's condemning you. He told you your election didn't count. He said that those of you who voted really don't represent America, so he's not going to listen to you. He is speaking to another audience. He marches to a different drummer. And my friends, if you look at it from the point of view of what I'm describing to you today, you'll say, hey, I never heard that before, which you haven't. And number two, it'll all fall in place for you. Obama wants to become dictator of the world after he leaves the presidency. So he's crushing our military, deballing our police, changing the laws so that we have to defend ourselves and can't count on the government to defend us from the riots that are coming. And all with an intent to run the United Nations as the world king, king of the world. That's one theory, isn't it? So that's one story, and I've asked Jewish liberal listeners to call the Savage Nation and ask you if Obama's speech today with the moral equivalency changed your view of him, and not one Jewish liberal called the show. And I know many of them listen to me. Believe me, I know. Okay, let's be very clear, but they don't have the guts to call the show. There are other stories out there. There used to be a statement. Well, I made the statement that if every Jew was armed in Israel, this wouldn't have happened. How can you disagree with me? Because right after this happened, after the Palestinians attacked the innocent, disarmed civilians, Israel eased controls on carrying weapons for self-defense. Public Security Minister Yitzhak Aronovich said, "In the coming hours, I will ease restrictions on carrying weapons," indicating it would apply to anyone with a license to carry a gun, such as private security guards and off-duty army officers. Well, that doesn't go far enough. There was a statement made once by a Jewish radical, every Jew at 22. Of course, that needs to be upgraded. The firepower of a 22 isn't enough to stop a man with an axe. It would have to be something like every Jew a Glock or something. I can't make it rhyme because there's not a comedic moment. But the fact of the matter is that the only way to defend yourself is with a weapon. It's that simple, and that goes for America as well as Israel. But Israel has very severe gun control laws, which is why they were slaughtered like lambs in the synagogue today. And the Ferguson riots come to mind because, as I just explained to you, there is a connection now between the Ferguson riots that have been ongoing and the Muslim groups embedded in the Ferguson riots who are now trying to co-opt the Ferguson protests as an issue related to Islam. You don't know this. Using social media, conference calling, and other outreach methods, leaders of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, a front group for Hamas, are portraying Brown and Detroit mosque leader Imam Lukman Amin Abdullah as African-American victims of police targeting, according to the Washington-based Center for Security Policy. CARE did a conference call called Muslims for Ferguson. Do you understand what's going on here? They're trying to get the black population on the side of Islam and on the side of Muslims against the police. And so the Muslim groups who are linked with terror groups and have been for years are seeking to co-opt the Ferguson protests. And I fear, by the way, that there will be violence and they will attempt to kill police officers. And that's why the governor of the state of Missouri should be roundly thanked for calling out the National Guard in advance. You see, the vermin in the streets didn't like that. The rats on MSNBC didn't like that. They didn't like that he called out a state of emergency in advance. They wanted people to die and stores to burn in advance, you see. They didn't want him to stop them in advance. Because there's one rule in the media, which is that if it burns, it earns. If it bleeds, it leads. Now, you can't run a television network unless there's blood on the street and unless there are fires to show, to fill in for the blank air or put out by Al Sharpton and the others on your network. So they actually want the riots. But it brings us back to the big story today, which is that four innocent Jews, unarmed, are praying in a synagogue. They're hacked to death and shot by Palestinians. And what happens? The president gives a speech saying too many Palestinians have died and not once mentions the word Jew. He says horrific attacks, innocent worshipers. Not one word does he say about Jews. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. The already discredited CNN ran a headline after the attacks on the Jews in the synagogue in Jerusalem today that said, underneath, you know, they run a script underneath the story. As the mayor of Jerusalem is condemning the murders, they run this headline, deadly attack on Jerusalem mosque. Jeff Zucker, this is Michael Savage speaking to you. You're a shame to your family. You're a shame to the Jewish people. And if you had any self-respect, Zucker, you would have retired a long time ago. You've not only destroyed a network that was once decent, you've destroyed all credibility that was left of the scintilla of credibility that was left. Shame on you, Jeff Zucker. That's if he actually runs it. I don't know who runs it. Does Jeff Zucker run CNN? I don't really know. Obama responds to Jerusalem synagogue attack by saying too many Palestinians have died. This is amazing. I mean, it goes on like this, on and on and on. On and on, doesn't stop. And by the way, with regard to Ferguson, you know what's agitating me? Even Fox is doing it. Even Shepard the Schlepper Smith, Schlepper Smith, on Schlepper Smith's show on Fox, he's running a picture of Brown showing him as a 14-year-old youth. Why are they all showing a picture of the guy who was killed, Brown, as a 14-year-old? Why don't they show a picture of him as he was around the time he was caught shoplifting and fighting with the cop? I don't get it. Why would Schlepper Smith continue to show the propaganda picture put out by the rioters in Ferguson? Tell me why. How can Schlepper Smith have any credibility after this? What's happened to the media? Has it gotten worse than it's ever been? Has it gotten even worse that a guy like Schlepper Smith on Fox News, that you think is conservative, would run the picture of the kid who was killed? When he wasn't a kid, he was like a giant, a man, a big man. What are they showing the 14-year-old kid's picture for? Anyway, what do you want me to do about this? We're at war. The world is at war. It's going to get worse in the 2 years that remain under the president's regime. If you think what's going on now is bad, oh, you're right, but you've seen nothing yet when you see what this left-wing academic is going to do to this country and the world. What he's gotten away with in the first 6 years is astonishing that he hasn't been indicted yet in the form of impeachment. But if you think that's bad, you haven't seen what he's going to do in the next 2 years. Now, I warned you what Bush would do in the last 3 months of his regime, didn't I? Raise your hands if you remember what I said to you in October of the last months of Bush's regime. Didn't I warn you what he was going to do? Didn't I call George Bush a fiscal socialist? Didn't I warn you what he was going to do to the economy? Was I wrong? Well, I'm warning you right now. You better get ready for the worst 2 years of your life, because that's what's coming. More to talk about on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
To discuss the Temple Mount at some time on the Savage Nation. Most of you don't know what the Temple Mount is. I've been there. It doesn't make me an expert, but you can look it up on the internet and get your answer in about 3 minutes, 3 seconds. The Temple Mount was the site of the original Holy Temple referred to in the Bible, the Jewish Temple, the Temple, the Jewish Temple. Muslims conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the Temple, as is their way. And they replaced it with a mosque. Now, of course, they now claim that the mosque is holy to them. As you know, anything the Muslims conquer is holy to them. It could be a grocery front in Brooklyn that becomes then a holy site. But they call the Temple Mount a holy site. That's the third holiest site. Everything's a holy site. And they don't even want Jews to be able to go there to pray. It's an interesting discussion unto itself. Some would argue it should be returned to the Jews where they can rebuild the Holy Temple. I mean, how many holy sites can you have? You already have Mecca. You have a second holiest site, so there's the third. So in the name of peace, why not let the Jews build their temple there, some would argue? But no, apparently that's what set off this sequence of anger and riots. There's always a pretext for murder. And also you have to understand that this proves beyond a reasonable doubt something that's very sad for me to admit. There can never be a two-state solution. Never. 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 I'm on record saying that I'm in favor of a two-state solution. Forget about it. It's over. If you've been raising an entire generation of Palestinian kids to hate Jews and kill them, what do you expect them to do when they're 18 and have an axe in their hand? These two cousins went in there with axes, knives, gun. These are the kids who were raised on hatred. Take a look at the grandmothers in the streets giving out candy now. The same ones who danced on the rooftops. Their cousins here in America, in New Jersey, after 9/11, passing out candy. Well, there they are, the old ladies, the old hags, passing out candy to the other children in the West Bank, saying it's a cause to celebrate. axing innocent people to death. So you're telling me there's going to be a two-state solution? It's impossible. It's impossible. It can't work. It's the end of the road. There is no two-state solution. It's not possible. It can't happen. I don't have the long-term answer, but I know the two-state solution's never going to happen. We learned that with Gaza, so what are you going to do? Change your mind now? Okay. KSFO, Ty, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. My comment is I'm really sorry to hear about what happened in Jerusalem, but my question is, in your comment to every Jew at 22, it would be to every Jew 45 and stay alive, or to
no,
every
hey, wait a minute. Hold on. That's pretty good. Get a 45 and stay alive. That's a nice one.
Yeah, my father won his Silver Star in Vietnam with a 45.
That's a very good idea. That upgrades the firepower. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, or you can say to every Jew, it's a doozy, use an Uzi. I mean...
God. Well, it's a laughing matter only because it isn't. And the fact is we need some relief here. But when you see these Palestinian haters teaching their children to kill and hate, what do you expect their children to do when they become 18? They're going to kill and hate, aren't they?
I mean, it's just like, you know, what we're going back to World War II, where you had the kamikaze warriors willing to kill themselves to take us, the U.S. Navy, out. I mean...
Yeah, right. Well, that's right. That's what ISIS is and the others. They're the equivalent of kamikazes. And I think that they have to be sent to their 72 virgins before they kill. See, that's my position. It's a little different than kill them after they kill. It's like Governor Nixon of Missouri. He said, I'll put out the National Guard now. To hell with the liberals who say I'm acting preemptively and I shouldn't. He did the right thing, didn't he? He's not waiting until they burn the city down.
No, I mean, you got to be prepared. I mean, that's why everybody carries a spare tire in their car. You're prepared for a flat. So if something happens, you change it and move forward. He's just want to make sure that innocent people who...
But do you know that the governor of Missouri is being condemned for calling out the National Guard in advance of the riots? They're saying he overreacted and he's actually going to provoke the riots. Could you believe how twisted the liberals are?
Mike, there's no surprise out here in Santa Cruz and San Francisco, you're dealing with this...
Oh, you live in Santa Cruz? I'm sorry to hear it.
Mike, you know, I see these long-haired hippies. Every drive-thru you go to here, it's, hey, can I have a dollar? You got a quarter. I'm tired of it, Mike. I mean, you know, you can stand out there for 5 hours holding a sign. I figure you can go...
Are you telling me in all the years since I've been to Santa Cruz, which is over 20 years, it's still the same shabby, shabby community that it was, dominated by them?
Mike, I don't go to the beach because if you walk on the beach, you have a danger of getting stuck with hypodermic needles. I mean, it's just as bad as in Golden Gate Park here as it is there for you. I mean,
well, but Santa Cruz is one of the most beautiful cities on the coast of California. It's beautiful. I once had a research associateship at the University of California at Santa Cruz, so I used to go down there once a month, and I used to enjoy it. It's a beautiful place, but I hadn't any idea that it's become worse than it was. I couldn't imagine they haven't grown up yet.
Mike, this county is just full of liberals. I mean, you know, you got all the hippies still from the 60s.
Isn't the former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, doesn't he have a ranch down there?
Well, you know, yeah, it's probably got all them homeless camps.
No, Leon Panetta, isn't his ranch somewhere in the Monterey area? Not exactly Santa Cruz, but it's in the same terrain, that kind of area. So he's right at home amongst the anti-war activists. That's why he was picked to be Defense Secretary, to destroy our ability to defend ourselves, which is why we're losing every war we fight. All right, my friend, thanks for the call. I like that one. Get a 45 to stay alive. We'll work with that one. 855-407-282. Did you hear me read about the Anti-Riot Act? Now, yesterday I said that the governor of Missouri has every right to arrest the protesters, the violent ones, in advance of the Ferguson decision. And people said, Mike, are you against freedom of association? I said, of course not. But there is a law on the books called the Anti-Riot Act, 18 U.S. Code 2101, which makes it a crime to travel or to use interstate communication, including social media, to incite a riot, to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, or to aid or abet any person in inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot or committing any act of violence in furtherance of a riot. So, in fact, Obama could arrest these agitators. He knows who they are. I didn't say everyone. We know who the violent ones are. The Black Panthers said there's going to be violence, didn't they? Didn't the Palestinians say that they want violence down there? Many groups have said they want violence and there will be violence. In fact, they're playing the old 60s game of saying we don't want violence, but there's going to be violence and we won't be able to control it. I know the game well. I lived through the 60s. But it's not limited to them. Wait, what I'm about to play for you is something that you hear, well, you'll say this can't be true. Here is a member of Congress, a gentleman from the Congressional Black Caucus, named Representative John Lewis. In addition to mangling the English language in a manner that I can't even imagine is possible, he calls for a massive nonviolent protest nationwide if the policeman is not indicted. Listen to this mangled statement, which is a couches a call for violence in saying he doesn't want violence in 17. Listen.
I think what happened in Ferguson will be the turning point. I think people are waiting, they watching. And we're going to see, I think, within the next few days what happened. And there could be massive nonviolent protests all over America.
So here's a congressman basically playing the game of saying nonviolent, what you know what he means, wink, wink. He wants the entire nation of left-wing agitators and unemployed blacks to rise up and basically take over America. That's what he's asking them to do. That's my reading of it. I'm not dumb. I can hear what he's saying. WABC, Harry, welcome. What's on your mind, Harry? Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Pardon my nervousness. It's the first time I'm talking to 100 million people at the same time. You've been ranting about the liberal Jews not caring about Israel. Well, I think some education is in place. The leftist, liberal, reformed Jew has nothing to do with Judaism, Bible, godliness. The only thing Jewish about them is that they were accidentally born to a Jewish mother.
Okay, there's two things I have to agree with. One, you said 100 million listening. From your mouth to God's ear, it's not 100. If it was 100 million every 15 minutes, it'd be better, but it isn't. Number two, I can guarantee you that there are some liberal reformed Jews who actually go to synagogue. Come on, you know that it's not 100% true what you say. So you have to admit some of them must believe in God.
The vast majority couldn't care less.
No, I understand. Liberal Reform Judaism, they have a name within Judaism known as Bagel and Lox Jews. They have no association with the religion. They only have a cultural association with Judaism, and they detest Israel, which is how Obama got elected. He used them as part of that voting bloc to push in, to get him elected and push his left-wing policies. I agree with you on that. But remember, the Jewish people are a very small minority in America. It's a very small voting bloc. It's not that significant anymore.
And the smallest of all is the Orthodox Jewry.
Yes, and they were the ones who were just slaughtered in Israel.
I know, and the Orthodox
Jewry. Are you still there, Harry?
Yes, I am.
Harry, how do you, you know, this is a very hard question for me to ask, and I'm not doing it to be sarcastic or insulting to religious people. Did the prayer help them when the Palestinians approached with the axe?
Well, prayer doesn't always help for the moment. It may help for the future, but the fact is, it's not.
Did the prayer shawl and the skull cap protect their heads from the axe blows?
No, it did not protect them.
And what I'm raising this sensitive issue because I've argued about this for years with people who think that God is going to protect them in their time of need. I go with another saying, God helps those who help themselves. I think that works better.
True. It's a very, very delicate issue.
It's a delicate issue. That's right. And it's not meant to insult religion, but the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, if they had a gun in their hands, they all wouldn't be dead. The Palestinians would have been shot in the guts of the head before they killed everybody.
That is true. The fact is that God gave everybody free choice. And if everybody would explode when they ride a car on the Sabbath, there will be no free choice. It's the people that did it, not God. Eventually, they will receive their punishment. And eventually,
well, you could look at it that way. That I understand people believe in. I'm not 100% sure I believe in an afterlife, nor in the punishment in the next world. I'm more of a pragmatist for what goes on in this world. And at the end of the day, the slaughter of the Jews in a synagogue is quite symbolic. In addition to being a horrific act unto itself, I think this puts an end to the whole concept of a two-state solution at the end of the day. Do you agree with me on that, Harry?
Never help. That would never help.
In other words, the Palestinians have shown that if you give them an inch, they'll take a land mile. They gave them Gaza. What did they do with it? Did they take the nurseries that American Jews built for them and export roses to Holland or to France? No. They tore the nurseries apart. They stole the hoses and the pumps, and they started launching rockets from Gaza into Israel. So what would they do if they took Judea and Samaria? What would they do, suddenly learn peace when they've been teaching hate and war and killing? So it's over. There is no two-state solution. It's impossible. Impossible. I don't know why God set this up, but the fact of the matter is there cannot be peace between Palestinians and Jews. It will never happen in your lifetime, if ever. And why do I say it? Because the Palestinians are still teaching their children to hate and to kill. They're celebrating in the streets right now with candy, celebrating the slaughter of the innocent. So how can you have children raised on such hatred ever live with a neighbor who is not like them? Tell me how. Palestinians celebrating streets after Axe attack. This is a religious war is what they're saying. Not me. Go to the top of the Drudge Report. Take a look at the headlines. Three Americans killed in Jerusalem synagogue attack. Many of you say, so what? It's only three people. Why don't you go on to something more important? Because it's a big story. Why? Why is it a bigger story than just the murder? Because Obama gave a speech in which he didn't say Jews were killed, and he didn't say that the bloodthirsty murderers were Palestinians. Instead, he created a moral equivalency again. Just as he and Holder are creating a moral equivalency in Ferguson, Missouri. This is a tactic of the left. Cop and murderer are morally equivalent. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Molester and the child who's molested are morally equivalent in the eyes of a liberal judge who always tries to mitigate against the crime of molestation. Take a look at New York City if you want and see what Judge Jack Weinstein has done over the years if you want to know the insanity of liberalism. Take a look at this man's rulings. You say there's no answer to this. It's insane. It comes from a fundamental flaw in the brain. The brain itself is diseased. And when a brain is diseased, or put it another way, the great English poet, American, Blake was Blake English or American? I don't remember. But he said, the eye that alters, alters all. Now, what did he mean by that? One of the greatest mystical poets in the English language, Blake, said the eye that alters all, or he said the mind that alters all, which means that if you have a faulty mind or a faulty eye, everything you see is altered. That would explain Barack Obama's insanities, because his mind has fundamentally been bent from a lifetime of radical left-wing propaganda. The mind that alters all. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Just make mention of the horrific attacks that took place in Jerusalem. We know that two attackers senselessly and brutally attacked.
What do you mean senselessly?
Innocent worshippers in a synagogue.
He doesn't say Jew. Okay, knock it off. You know what this man is. He's a dissembler and a liar. He lies about everything. I don't think this man can actually say anything that's true if he tried. I don't think it's possible. The man has gotten where he is by lying and deceiving people, in my estimation. You can't suddenly, at this stage of his life, expect the man to start saying anything like it is. He doesn't say it like it is. Why, he's detested by most Americans. This comes to me from a listener, Michael Savage. Thank you so much for what you did to reunite that brave soldier with his dog. It brought tears to my eyes. And I want to thank Matt Drudge for posting that article. I want to thank Art Moore for writing the article. And Joe Farah for putting it up on WorldNet Daily. It was very important to me, and I'm glad the dog's back with the owner. It's a big deal for me. I can feel I did something good on the earth, a little thing. And I didn't take credit for it, okay? Please, I didn't need it for credit. I said that there are no heroes, there are no villains, but I know the radio show did the thing. Many people played a role in that, but I know once it was on the radio, it happened like a day later. Because it's spread like wildfire. Radio is the most powerful of all mediums. The medium is the message. And this medium of radio is the most powerful of all. Hush, don't tell that to Hussein.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, these are times that test a man's soul, are they not? I doubt that there's a single listener to this program, The Savage Nation, today, who is not listening because they're agitated, they're perplexed, they don't understand why things are falling apart the way they're falling apart, they don't understand why the world is falling apart, they don't understand why this government seems to be on the side of everything bad and against everything good, they don't understand why they haven't arrested the agitators in Ferguson, Missouri, who have already said that they're going to hurt, maim, and riot. In fact, rioting and looting are the tools of those without a voice, said Mr. Rokit Ali, a masked Ferguson protest organizer, and who said there is no revolution without violence. Now, he could be arrested. There's a law in the books that could have him arrested, the Black Panthers arrested, the other outside activators. By the way, do you know that there's over 100 Ferguson businesses that have already been looted? And yet, Obama nor Holder have arrested any of them? There is an anti-riot act on the books, which could be used to put them in jail, to stop them from burning, looting, or hurting people. That's story number one. And then there's Michael Savage on his How to Stop Obama Amnesty. It's the lead story in the top of WorldNet Daily. I linked it on michaelsavage.com. And the subhead says, do I have to teach McConnell and Boehner what they can do? Emotionally, however, the most important story to me is waking up to a blood trail coming out of a synagogue in Jerusalem. A big, big blood trail, not because someone cut their finger on a splinter, but because your friends, the Palestinians, put such hatred in the hearts of their young that two of the psycho children ran in with axes and guns and knives and butchered and killed four innocent Jews who were unarmed just praying to God in the synagogue in the morning until they were shot dead by the police. And you see the blood trails coming out of the house of prayer, the house of worship. And you say, is this going on in my lifetime? I'm watching a new Holocaust emerge while Israel's armed to the teeth. This goes on right under their nose. Well, we're armed to the teeth, and look what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. The rioters are saying they're going to riot. They're going to loot. They're going to burn things. They're going to break things. They're going to commit violence. And the government not only does nothing. We read that Obama met secretly after the election, met secretly with the instigators and agitators of the Ferguson riots. So you have to ask yourself, which side is he on? I'll let you decide. I'll let you decide. You figure it out. It's that simple. But the governor of Missouri is not waiting for Obama or Holder to tell him what he can do. The governor of Missouri has a job to protect people and property, and he did so. He called out the National Guard in advance. The hearing, the grand jury testimony will come down. The grand jury decision will likely come down this week, perhaps as early as tomorrow, Wednesday. Maybe they'll do it as a news dump on Friday. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you know, and I know what's going to happen. But it won't be limited to that. It'll be occurred across America because the liberal so-called leadership around the country wants the riots for a number of reasons. They lost the election, so they want to take it to the streets. They cannot win on amnesty for illegal aliens in Congress, so they're going to have Obama, their man, do it by fiat or executive order, and then the riots will cover it up. Let's begin this hour with the statement on the Jerusalem terror attack by Palestinians by your president in clip three.
I just make mention of the horrific attacks that took place in Jerusalem. We know that two attackers senselessly and brutally attacked
Palestinians, right?
In the synagogue.
You mean innocent Jewish workers
during
right?
their morning prayers. Uh-huh. Obviously.
All right, you got the picture. I don't have to do it again and again until you get it. This is called Deconstructing Obama. It's the title of my show, Deconstructing Obama. If you're a skilled listener to people, as I have to be in order to survive in this business, you have to actually listen to what people are saying. You have to be very focused. You have to be very, very focused and deconstructed for the average listener who's too busy making a living to pay much attention to this. But there's a very important thing for you to remember. The word is the deed. Everything begins with a word. And his words are chilling. Obama's words are chilling when he says the attacks that took place in Jerusalem, two attackers without saying Palestinian, brutally attacked innocent worshippers without saying Jewish worshippers. And then you see CNN runs a subhead saying mosque attacked. You understand what the battle really is. You understand that? The end, you know, you could say, well, what is going on, Michael? What do you really think is going on? Why is the world coming apart at the seams? There's a lot of reasons for it, but the number one reason is because we have an agitator-in-chief in the White House who is the most divisive president in American history, also a serial liar. And he's also, and the worst part of it is, and it doesn't give me pleasure to say this every day, I don't feel strong saying it, I don't feel happy saying it. It doesn't give me a sense of some kind of justifiable rage or righteous indignation. It's sickening for me to have to say this, day in and day out. And what does Boehner do today? His biggest issue is the Keystone Pipeline. They win the election, the first thing is the pipeline. The most important thing, it's not stopping amnesty, it's the pipeline, that's all. So we're talking about that. The Anti-Riot Act I described to you. I asked Jewish liberal listeners, has Obama's speech today finally changed your view of him? And none will call. Because apparently they don't listen to conservative talk radio. To them, we don't exist. So let's take some callers, 855-497-282. Let's begin with Billy on WBAP in Dallas, Texas. Billy, go ahead, please.
Yeah, man, you know, this Ferguson case, you know, this officer, and everybody seems to know more about it than they do, but let's pretend that, you know, this officer is innocent, you know, because none of us knows, but let's pretend he is. Are they going to indict him? Afraid because they're afraid of a riot.
Well, that's what the rioters want. They're saying we don't give a damn what the evidence is. Indict him, and then he's not going to get a fair trial. During the trial, they'll riot and they'll protest and they'll scream until he actually gets the death sentence. Don't you see what this is? This is an attempt to deball the police. That's what the radical left has been at for years.
You know, it's crazy that they're doing this. I mean, it's a man.
Of course, it's crazy. But when you have a left wing agitator in the White House, that's why they're getting away with it.
And I agree with you. You know, you got a man in the White House that has something in common with everybody, and he's going.
I'll bet you don't even know that he met with the Ferguson so-called protesters the day after the election. He had a secret meeting in the White House. I have the news story on my website. He met with them, and he said to them, "Stay the course." What does that tell us, Billy?
I'm agreeing with you. And just like that clip that you played of that guy that's in the Senate, I guess, you played just a while ago.
The Congressional Black Caucus gentleman?
You know, for him being, you know, a higher rank, you know, he should use a little bit more educated words, I think.
Oh, yeah. Representative John Lewis, he goes on a show and calls for a massive, quote, nonviolent protest if Wilson is not indicted. This is a congressman calling for the indictment of a policeman before the evidence is presented.
Exactly. You know, they're wanting to just, you know.
So what you know now is we have a war in the country. We've been at war since this illegitimate government was foisted upon us 6 years ago. And this illegitimate government under Obama, frankly, has declared war in every institution of America. From the day he became president, he told you what he was going to do. And boy, is he doing it. Doesn't give me pleasure to repeat it over and over again every day. I'd rather go on and talk about other things. You know what I need to do? How many days can I say the same thing to you? I'm going to start with a quote, and it goes like this. The man wrote in 1861 one sentence. He said, "I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism." And that's a man sending a letter to Abraham Lincoln in 1861, and it's the opening chapter to Stop the Coming Civil War. And I ask the question, has this administration graduated to treason? And I'll let you decide whether or not they have committed treason and what they intend to do tomorrow. And I ask the questions, but only you can give the answers. And you did, many of you. You voted for the first time in many years. And then what happened? The deluded president goes out the next day and makes believe there's no election. But it was more insulting than that. He said, you know what? You voted, but it doesn't matter because two-thirds of the people didn't vote. Well, of course, he was lying again because he's a serial liar. In midterm elections, the percentage of people who vote is always lower than the general election, and it's about the number of people who voted last time. What he was really saying is, Those of you who threw the Democrats out don't count. Wait until 2016 when we agitate the blacks, the minorities, and the pot-headed students to go out there and vote, and we'll show you who's really running the country. In addition to that, we'll have 30 million more illegal aliens here than we have now, and they'll all vote for Democrats, so don't celebrate too early. That's what the community organizer was really saying on Wednesday. That's what he was saying on Wednesday. It's that simple. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Mendel on WABC Radio. Mendel, I've got to find the line you're on. Line 7, go ahead, please.
Yes, this is one of your favorite callers, Michael. I hope to set the record straight here. You kept my call to you on the your website for about 2 weeks, so let's see if we can beat that one, all right? The reason that the world is coming apart, as it seems, is because according to the Torah, the world is not supposed to exist any longer than 6,000 years. We're already at 5,775. So we know that even if we didn't do anything, it would cease to exist as it is today by that time. What that means is nothing apocalyptic. It doesn't mean we're going to go up in a big explosion. It doesn't mean that the Iranians are going to destroy us, wipe us off the map. It means that we're going to go into what it says in the book of Daniel. There's going to be a time of peace, a time when all nations are going to worship the one true God, when the nations, the Goyim, are going to stream to...
All right, hold it. If you're going to start to get insulting and put people down, I'm going to have to cut you off. You know, I mean, you're a Jewish nationalist, and you're entitled to your opinion, but please don't insult people who are not Jewish with the word Goyim. It offends me, Mendel.
Yeah, well, I said nations, but I had to be more specific.
Well, but don't be so imperious with your word choices, because if it wasn't for the Goyim, you'd be a lampshade. They're the ones who liberated Auschwitz, Mendel, so cut it out, will you please?
It's nothing. The word Goyim
is... No, don't give me it's nothing. If it wasn't for the Goyim, who you hate so much, all the Jews would have been killed, so stop your garbage on my show.
What happened,
Mendel? Where are you now?
Here's where we are.
Here's where we're nowhere. You're not making any sense. First of all, you're giving me some mishigas here about the world coming to an end in 6,000 years. Where'd you get that from?
Because it's in the Torah. It talks about...
Right, it's in the Torah. What else is in the Torah? You sound like the Y2K maniacs who thought the world was coming to the end in the year 2000.
The point is that we have...
You sound like the lunatics who stocked up on canned wheat. What, do you've got canned matzah somewhere in Brooklyn waiting for the world to come to an end? They all said the world's coming to an end in the year 2000. It didn't come to an end. Are you an Orthodox Jewish man?
Redemption.
Are you an Orthodox Jewish man?
I'm telling you as an observer.
No, I'm asking you a question so I know who I'm talking with. Please answer the question so I know where you're coming from. Are you an ultra-Orthodox religious Jewish man?
If you want to divide the Jewish people, okay, you could say that, but I'm an observant Jewish man.
All right, fine. I'm asking a question so I get a picture of you. Are you of the Lubavitch sect or not?
What?
Are you a Lubavitcher?
Yes, I am.
All right, so I'll show you how false your argument is. The Lubavitch, who are very nice people by and large, for years said the Messiah is coming. And they gave a certain year he was supposed to come. According to your leader, Rabbi Schneerson, the Messiah was supposed to have come here about 15 years ago. Well, the day came and went and there was no Messiah. So stop telling me some childish fairy tale about the world coming to an end, and live in the real world.
You're making a terrible mistake. What the Rebbe said was that we're in the era, that period of the time of the redemption. That started in 1991 with the Gulf War. He quoted a famous...
All right. So you can live in any fantasy world you want, Mendel. You don't have to try to impose it upon everybody. What's your main point? The world's coming to an end in, what, 25 years or 220? How many years do we have left?
The Jewish people who are observant are saying in great numbers now, it's almost universal, they're recognizing that we are in the time of the redemption right now. That it's happening in this year, 5,775. It hasn't been like that for millennia for everybody to be in agreement on it. And this, you can ask...
But your math is off as well, Mendel. Because if you're telling me that they're saying it's coming to an end now, then they're off by 225 years.
It would come to an end on its own.
You said it's going to end in 6,000 years, but we have 225 years left. That's enough for me to finish out my career and become an old man.
We want the Messiah now. What happened in Israel?
Oh, what you want, then go look for him. Leave me alone. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, I was going to talk about helping reuniting the wounded soldier with the wounded dog. I thought I'd have another good hour out of that. You know, coming into Thanksgiving, I can't, there's not a second you can't rest. I wake up, I get out of bed, I walk over to the computer, which is about 30 seconds from my bed, and I say, don't open it, it's too early, it's 5:30. And there's the blood trail coming out of a synagogue, and I said, no, this can't be going on. And there it was going on, the most heavily armed state in the Middle East, and they can't protect their own people. And we have a nation armed to the teeth, and we can't protect ourselves from the rioters or from the enemy within. So we're living through the age of the Trojan horse, and we're going to be talking about more of these topics on the Savage Nation as time goes on. John in Michigan is calling on WJR. Listen to his idea. John, fire away. This is too good to be true.
Mr. Boehner's trading the pipeline for amnesty, Mr. Savage.
Bingo. Bingo. That's the only explanation for why Boehner moved on the pipeline and has said virtually nothing real about the amnesty proposal.
That's it?
And that could be why Obama won't veto it when it passes.
Well, then Boehner will say, well, he'll make the excuse, we need more immigrant workers to help build the pipeline. So there we go, pipeline for amnesty.
I think you're right. I think you see right through the whole political structure with a clarity that's quite unique for the American voter. And please let me send you a copy of my best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War, as a present. When I come back in the Savage Nation, we have callers from around the country. We have two open lines at 855-407-28 to remember my key point in this first part of the show today, which is why Obama keeps taking the side of, it seems, the enemy rather than America. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know how to mince words. I speak somewhat too bluntly. I admit that. I probably lack a gene for diplomacy. I apologize for that. I think the reason Obama is doing that is because he has his eye on his job after the presidency, which is running the world as king of the universe, running the United Nations, or something more powerful than the United Nations, which could be the Federal Reserve. And once he's king of the currency, as Rothschild said, he'll be king of the world.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Ale Mishkavo, vi amod le goralo, li keitsa yamin, ven omare, amen.
That is the Jewish prayer for the dead, which we are playing for the world to hear, for four innocent Jewish souls who were mercilessly slaughtered this morning by the Palestinian Friends of the American Left, butchered in their synagogue, in their house of prayer, as they were simply praying to God for the morning prayers. Thank you for all of your hard work on the left, because you've given the world such spiritual beauty. Jesus said that in the last days it would be like the days of Noah, a world filled with violence and apostasy. Is this not what Christians are seeing? We had a Jewish caller in the last hour who said that according to the Orthodox Jewish view, the world is in its last days. And there are Christians who believe that with Israel regathered the second time in fulfillment of Old and New Testament prophecy, surrounded by Muslim enemies that want to wipe her off the map, well, they see the same thing. They see the same thing. And so religious people see the world differently than the rest of us. I am not a religious person myself, and I feel that I don't have an obligation to define myself in that regard. I think each person has to find their own way through earth. But I respect those who are very religious. It doesn't mean that I agree with them or that I follow their way. I have, in my own way, found other ways to survive. But the question is, how are we going to survive two more years of the snake? That's the only question there is. WABC Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. Steve, welcome to the program. Are you still there? I think Steve left us. Thanks, Steve. From Israel, Joe calls us on the internet. Joe, are you ready? Here we go. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak to you. I was at the funeral today,
what a heart-rending funeral. I was surprised not to hear Obama talk about that two Palestinians got shot by policemen.
Well, yeah, it's interesting he didn't say six people died. That would be a normal leftist tactic, I know. Yeah, that's the normal leftist tactic. They include the perpetrators in the death toll because they equate the murderer with the murdered.
Yeah, and about amnesty, I was thinking that even Bill Clinton wouldn't do such a thing because President Obama is not a real American.
That's another story. It's irrelevant what Bill Clinton would have done and what he would do. Because, frankly, people are saying that after what happened in Arkansas, the Democrat Party spent $100 million and sent out Bill and Hillary Clinton to Arkansas, and they lost anyway. And they say that that's the biggest story of the election. One of the biggest stories of the election is that the Clintons are irrelevant. They're no longer the power that they once were. That's what people are saying. We'll have to wait and see how powerful they really are. WABC, Henry, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. First of all, I want to tell you that when we come to synagogue every night, we discuss your show a lot, and my friends and I, we always go over what you said in the last, that day.
So well, I'm very honored. I'm honored, and I'm very humbled, actually, by what you say, that religious people would even pay any attention to me. But what is it that you are calling about? Because what I see on the board is fascinating about God.
Let me tell you the way I see it. As I'm listening a lot to you, I've heard you saying that you believe in God. So the way I see it is, you believe in Him only when it makes sense to you. The second it doesn't make sense to you, you start questioning it. So the way I see it is, as soon as I believe that there's a God and He created the world, I have to admit that I can't understand what He's doing. Because if I would be understanding everything, then I would be the creator. Obviously, if He is God and I'm not, and He created such a powerful world and such an interesting world, obviously there's things about him that I can't understand.
No, I agree with you. Whatever the creator may be, the creator is beyond us, beyond our understanding. I agree with that totally.
So why should I ask questions when there's happening something that I don't understand? Obviously.
Wait, hold on. Let me follow you, because what you're saying makes sense to me, because I've arrived at the same truth myself, which is that we cannot understand all the ways of God, or else we would be God. And man has a limited brain. As great as we think our brain may be, it's quite limited. It's a speck of sand in a sea of sand.
Therefore, even though, let's say, there was the Holocaust and I have a lot of family got killed there, I don't question it because he's so powerful that I don't question. I can't understand him, and I'm not trying to. I just go with the flow. The way he does it, that's the way it is, and that's the best. I'm not trying to question it, because if I question and I think I have to understand everything, then I would be the God. And obviously I'm not, so I'm not questioning it.
Well, you're saying things that for me are very difficult to live with, because in talk radio, we have to question everything, or else we're really not doing our job for the audience. This requires getting up at 5 in the morning and just every day, all day long, reading hundreds of pages of information in order to sort and sift and come up with words that have meaning for the listener, sometimes humorous, sometimes poignant, sometimes ridiculous. But you have to make sense or the people wouldn't listen to the show. So therefore, many of us who do this, and I have to admit myself included, consider our intelligences greater than they are. And we try to understand things perhaps that we can't understand, and we make statements that don't make sense to some. But some of our statements do make sense, don't they? And some of the things we do are worth doing, but we have to keep trying, don't we?
Yes, and I just want to say thanks for helping us turn from a prune to a plum every day.
From who to hot? From who to what?
From a prune to a plum. This is something you said one day.
Who came up with that statement, from a prune to a plum?
It was you saying it one day.
What did I say? Tell me again. I don't know. It's a great statement. In what context?
You were talking about a 90-year-old couple that were making love, and you said that it's interesting how people can turn from a prune to a plum, and you said that this, for sure, a liberal girl in San Francisco is going to run to her publisher to name a book like this. It's yours, not mine.
Oh, from a prune to a plum. Well, it usually goes the other way, though, doesn't it, Henry? We go from being a plum and become a prune.
Not in the Savage Nation.
Thanks for the kind words. I wish I could go from being a prune to a plum. Well, one thing I've never become is a prude. Thank God for that. It's 41 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation, and we are talking about horrible, horrible things in the world. Here's an email I got. It says, Michael, thanks for the important news. Michael Brown, the gentle giant, thanks for calling out Shepard Smith. But what I said was, why is Shepard Smith and CNN continuing to run pictures of that guy in Ferguson who was shot by the policeman, a picture of this guy when he was 14 years old? That's not what he was when he was killed. Why? And then he said, thanks for connecting the St. Louis to the Detroit imam. Yep, that's very important. Especially since the United Arab Emirates just yesterday declared CAIR in Dearborn, Michigan, as a terrorist organization because of financing Hamas and Hezbollah via J.P. Morgan Chase and HSBC. Did you hear that? You didn't hear that one. 855-400-7282. Someone else is now what? What else? Da, da, da. 19 Day, the music died. American Pie, Donald. Messianic, da, da, da. All right, so it's a Jews for Jesus guy now is sending me some stuff. All right, we get all sorts of things at the Savage Nation. You know, I don't care what a person believes in as long as they leave everybody else alone. And most religions do that, by the way. They do. Most religions have one tenet, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto you. And I've said that to you. If you break down all of the justifiable peaceful religions to one sentence, it comes down to one thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most religions teach that except one. Buddhism teaches it. Judaism teaches it. Christianity certainly teaches it. Hinduism teaches it. There's only one religion that doesn't necessarily teach do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It teaches do others before they do you. And what they do is they try to do others first. It's that simple. And I don't have to go into details. But we got this thing brewing in Missouri. And thank God that the governor of Missouri is not Jerry Brown of California, who would wait for the city to burn and then do an investigation to see why the city burned. The governor of Missouri is taking no chances on the vermin down there waiting to burn and loot. In fact, they told us that they will burn and loot. One of the masked protesters said this to Reuters. His name is Rocket Ali, if that's his real name, Ali, A-L-I. Quote, rioting and looting are the tools of those without a voice. There is no revolution without violence. So the police know there's going to be violence. The governor knows there's going to be violence. The thing to do is arrest them before they commit the violence. It's that simple. Now, I know you liberals or you extreme liberals are saying, therefore, I'm against freedom of assembly, but that's false. There is an anti-riot act on the books. It's 18 U.S. Code 2101. Which makes it a crime to travel to or use interstate communications, including social media, one, to incite a riot, two, to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, three, to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, four, to aid or abet any person in inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot, or committing any act of violence in furtherance of a riot. So therefore, the Attorney General is not doing his job, because there's already been over 100 Ferguson businesses looted and torched, and yet the government under Obama and under Holder have not yet stopped any of them. In fact, it seems to me that they're winking and nodding at them. You get it? 855-400-7282 WABC Abe. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for listening to me. You said about the attack today in Jerusalem that the two-state solution is down. And I understand that. But what can be a solution that the Muslims living next door to the Israelis should stop attacking them? I can't see anything happening in this world to stop the Muslim people of attacking the Jewish people.
Well, you raise the question of questions, and if there was a simple answer, it would have been acted upon already. That's why there's been no peace treaty in Israel, in the Middle East, because there can't be one. And that's why one president after another has pushed it down the road for the next president. There is no solution. Other than this constant cancer that goes on. There was such agitation between Muslims and Hindus in India. And then Gandhi agitated for years for a two-state solution. And he created Pakistan. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And Pakistan was supposed to be a homeland for the Muslims where they would be happy for the rest of their lives and never attack Hindus again. Well, it didn't work out that way. They got Pakistan. Now they want a piece of India again called Kashmir, and they're still agitating in India. So there's no answer to a people that is constantly given to complaining about their neighbors. And in fact, if you look around the world, wherever there's a conflict, it seems to be Muslims who can't get along with their neighbor. It doesn't matter whether the neighbor is a Jew in Israel or a Christian in the Philippines or a Hindu in Kashmir. Wherever there is a conflict in the world between nations, it seems to be Muslims who can't get along with their neighbors. So what's the answer to that? Give them your neighbor? Give them your neighborhood?
I understand that, but the question is, what is...
I don't have an answer. If I had an answer, I'd win a Nobel Prize and I'd be president. There is no answer. The Israelis are not going to commit suicide under Netanyahu and give up half of their land to people who want to butcher them with axes in their synagogue. How can he give up half the land when they're lobbing rockets at them from first from Gaza? How can they give up any more land? How? Where are they supposed to go?
I totally agree with that. It's not a solution.
I don't know. Look, I'm perplexed as you are, Abe. I wish to God that there was a simple answer to this. It would have happened already. In fact, several years ago, I believed that a two-state solution was the only solution. But what I've seen is whatever the Palestinians have gotten, they complain that they want the whole pie. They don't want half the pie. In fact, if you look at historically, the Jews tried to give up the West Bank to the Palestinians for a two-state solution a number of times. And they said to the Jews, drop dead, we want it all. We want you out of here. So what's the answer to this?
It's a problem that it was created 70 years ago, 65 years ago. And my question is this Jewish situation in the world better today than it was 100 years ago?
I think I know where you're coming from. I know what you're asking. You're saying, should Israel have been created as a Jewish state? Isn't that what you're getting at?
I've
heard the arguments. I've heard the arguments, and I've thought about it in great depth. And I must tell you that when I was a very young kid, I discussed this with a cousin. I was 8 or 10 years old. I don't know how old we were. And he looked at me and he said something odd. He was a very bright kid and he said, the creation of Israel could be the death of the world. He said that. I said, why would you say that? I don't know. He just said it to me. So I've thought about it for a long time in my life. And if it was just the Jews in Israel that antagonized the Muslims, you would say maybe there's some truth to that thought. But you have to look at all the other problems on the earth surrounding the Muslims' desire for territorial quest, the quest of territory. And that would be, again, if you look in the Philippines, the Moros have been at war with the Christians in the Philippines for over 100 years. The Muslims have been at war with the Hindus ever since God knows how long. So it's easy to say it's Israel and the Jews and Zionism, but that's not true. So that's my answer, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The people who had come to worship God in the sanctuary of the synagogue were hatcheted and hacked and murdered in that holy place in an act of pure terror and senseless brutality and murder.
I have to tell you, I admire John Kerry for his honest statements with regard to the slaughter in Jerusalem, especially when you compare John Kerry's... First of all, he was passionate in what he just said. For a man who's a State Department head, he's normally got him without passion. But listen to his words. I mean, they were very clear, hacked and hatcheted. He must have seen the pictures. Obama, though, compare him with Obama's amoral statements. Obama, nothing affects him. Nothing seems to reach Obama. Everything to him is nothing. Listen to what Obama said. Nothing. Listen to clip 3. Obama compared to Kerry.
Just make mention of the horrific attacks that took place in Jerusalem. We know that two attackers sent...
All right, that's enough. I did it already. You see the difference? Kerry gets the gold star today. He was shaken by this. You can tell it by his voice. And he certainly has won my respect for the way he reacted to this act of murder by the friends of the American left, the Palestinians trained to kill from birth.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
People who had come to worship God in the sanctuary of the synagogue were hatcheted and hacked and murdered in that holy place in an act of pure terror and senseless brutality and murder. I call on the Palestinian leadership at every single level to condemn this in the most powerful terms. This violence has no place anywhere. And to have this kind of act, which is a pure result of incitement, of calls for days of rage, of just an irresponsibility, is unacceptable. So the Palestinian leadership must condemn this, and they must begin to take serious steps to restrain any kind of incitement that comes from their language, from other people's language, and exhibit the kind of leadership that is necessary to put this region on a different path.
All right. For the first time in maybe my entire life, I respect John Kerry's clarity. Apparently, he was shocked by the pictures of the blood trails coming out of the synagogue in Jerusalem of innocent people who were butchered by Palestinians, and he said it like it was. Compared with Obama, it's a very refreshing thing to hear someone in the government say it like it is. Obama was equivocating. Obama was morally equivalent. Obama didn't mention Jews were killed, didn't mention Palestinians did the killing. Once again, Obama did the thing that you expect him to do, which is either play it down the middle or take the other side. Something else happened that I haven't mentioned yet today. This is an astonishing development. You're never going to believe this. The United Arab Emirates decided to list two American Muslim groups as terrorist organizations. And the State Department was caught off guard. They said, wait a minute, what are you doing? Let me repeat it. The United Arab Emirates decided to list two American Muslim groups as terrorist organizations, and they are none other than the Council on American Islamic Relations, CAIR, which has long been teaching our FBI and other federal agencies how to play nice with Muslims. They also listed the Muslim American Society, another, quote, mainstream organization to Obama, who is now listed as a terrorist group to the UAE. I want to show you how far we've fallen. Here we have an Arab country, a Muslim country, the United Arab Emirates, listing two groups in America, the Muslim American Society and CAIR, as what? What they call them? As terrorist organizations. So it seems that an Arab country that's Muslim knows more about who is the enemy within than does our president of the United States, the president of the United States. The State Department is just shocked at this, that the CAIR would be called a terrorist organization. And they don't know why they're being called such. But the United Arab Emirates was very clear of why they placed these groups on their list. Listen to what they said, and I'm going to read it to you. I have to find the exact word. And the United Arab Emirates said the following. He said the fight against terrorism must go beyond ISIS and confront dangerous Islamist extremists of all stripes across the region. Listen to this. This is the head of the United Arab Emirates, the ambassador to the U.S., rather, saying this. A successful campaign to defeat Islamist extremism in the long term must confront the transnational networks and organizations that breed and support hatred and violence in the name of religion, he wrote. He went further. Now, remember, this is a foreign Muslim government, going way beyond what this government does with regard to understanding the Trojan horse. They continued in saying, backing these support networks and organizations is a sophisticated ideological, financial, and communications complex that includes countries, charities, companies, and individuals. It uses social media, religious centers, banks, and false fronts. He said it must be choked off through an organized program of better intelligence, more aggressive law enforcement, and tougher sanctions. And as a result of this, the State Department itself was stunned today, hearing that the United Arab Emirates listed two American Muslim groups as terrorist organizations. Now, how many years have I told you that CAIR is not the peace-loving organization that they pretend to be? To me, these organizations, and it's one man's opinion, are very much like the front groups that fronted for Hitler in America in the 1930s. They made believe they were American. They hung American flags wherever they spoke, but they were disseminating the hatred of Nazism under the guise of being American organizations. Well, now we wake up and find out that an Arab country, a Muslim country by that, for that matter, has listed these groups, which are used by the FBI, the U.S. Army, you name it, to educate them as to the wonders and the peaceful nature of Islam. Well, apparently the FBI doesn't know as much as the UAE does. Maybe the FBI will wake up now to the fact that many of us do know what's going on. Maybe the UAE knows something that they don't know. Maybe the UAE knows something that they ought to know. You never can tell. Now it's time to take some calls. Steve in Detroit on WJR. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to give a quick comment here, specifically in regard to our president. And I guess I use that in a very limited basis, I guess. The utter contempt that he has for the people that he was elected to serve, to me, is just appalling. And the lack of accountability is just unparalleled to me. And the logic...
No, that's right. And what were you going to say? You feel as though you don't have a country? Is that what you were saying?
Like I don't have a voice. I mean, the logic and facts are the only...
Well, you don't have a voice. Obama said your voice doesn't matter. He said that the minorities and the folks who didn't vote have a voice, but those who did vote have no voice. He said so. Those are his exact words. The entire Democrat Party said your voice doesn't count. They said the elections be damned. We don't care what the elections say. Wait until we get control of the population through a massive influx of illegal aliens and by agitating the street agitators to vote. That's what they're saying.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. When I saw on the screen it said a caller is calling to say he feels like he doesn't have a voice in this country, what came to mind was a book written by James Baldwin, the American writer in the 50s, called Another Country. And James Baldwin was an African-American writer who wrote about the African-American experience in America at that time. And his book, Another Country, talked about the country in which black people lived. And that leads me to think that Obama somehow is stuck in that rhetoric, even though he is a child of privilege. Remember, Obama never worked or struggled a day in his life. You know that as well as I do. His mother and his grandparents sacrificed for him every day of his life. And yet he identifies with, another portion of his inheritance, more so than he does that side of his inheritance. He's decided it worked for him. Look how well he's done by taking the attitude of the victim. Why should he stop now? Yes, you do live in another country. It's not Obama's country that you live in. Connecticut, WABC Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Good show. Just wondering, how are the 3% brainwashes the other 90%?
You're saying how do 3% brainwash the other 97%?
Yeah, 3% of...
A very simple answer to that. Amongst the 3%, they own the whole media. The entire government media complex is in that 3%. So if you own the channels of communication, you own the brainwashing power.
People are not smart enough at this point to make a decision?
Apparently not. Apparently not. They don't see what's going on under their own noses, no.
Going with the flow and what's cool instead of...
They don't know anything. The students are stoned. They could care less. The students are morons. They're still marching about global warming in the midst of an Arctic blast that has them shaking in their no underwear. They're not wearing underwear, and they're shaking in Washington today against the Keystone XL pipeline, the morons. They've been brainwashed from childhood to think that anything with oil is bad for the environment.
Oh, my God.
No, they are. They're shivering now in Washington against the pipeline. like it's personally a personal affront to them. And what's amazing to me, even the State Department ruled that the Keystone XL pipeline will not harm the environment, because they rightly said that the oil that would be going to our refineries would be going somewhere else and be used anyway, so it will have no net effect upon the environment. That's no change, in other words. We used anyway. But don't tell that to the brainwashed potheads gathering there and shivering in Washington during the Arctic blast on global warming. Connecticut, on the internet, Bill, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what I wanted to say was it's time for impeachment. And regardless of what Boehner and McConnell have to say, the people have spoken. And I'm your age, Michael. And I'm
what, you're 49 years old?
Excuse me?
You're 49?
No, I'm 50. I should be 51, but I was 60 years.
Well, you see, I disagree with you on impeachment. Originally, I was for it until I was against it, and I'm still against it, Bill, because it's exactly what the snake wants. The snake wants impeachment in order to marshal all of those who didn't vote. The snake wants impeachment more than you could ever imagine. The way to stop the snake is not through impeachment, but through a legislative act, as I explain in very clear language on my website, michaelsavage.com. It's as clear as a bell. The snake can be stopped legislatively. You don't have to impeach him to stop the snake.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, and I think the time has come where the people would be in favor of it. And I think the Republicans were opposed to it at one time because they were afraid it might indicate that they were racist. And I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, if you look at McConnell and Boehner, you're telling me they suddenly discovered they have courage? Where did they discover that? Where did they discover the fact that they're supposed to represent the people who just put them in power? Where did you discover that? On the top of michaelsavage.com, I have an article. Here's how to stop Obama amnesty order, and it's very logical. And it's done through the legislative process, honestly. Savage helps reunite soldier with canine partner. Still a big story. 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Stop the coming civil war. More important today than it was before the election. Much more important, because when amnesty hits, you must have the ammunition to awaken your representative to stop amnesty at all costs, because once they bring in 30 million, it's all over. We will be nothing but a suburb of Mexico. Listen to what I just said. They'll all bring in their relatives through chain migration. You'll become a minority within a minority in America, which is the plan of the snake. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We've got an out-of-control rogue president who is now contradicting his own words. His own words are being contradicted as he prepares to grant amnesty, using the riots in Ferguson and elsewhere, of course, as a backdrop to distract us from what he's about to do. No question, this is all orchestrated by La Raza and the advisors around him, more fundamentally breaking the Constitution over their knee. The New York Times just said, using executive order on immigration, Obama would reverse long-held stance. He said it would violate laws and be very difficult to defend legally. Now he's reversed himself. Just over the weekend, listen to this. Are you ready for this one? He said getting a comprehensive deal of the sort that is in the Senate legislation does extend beyond my legal authorities, Obama said just this Sunday. He said there are certain things I cannot do. So then the radicals in La Raza pushed him and said, isn't there something we can do to reduce deportations and keep families together because Congress won't act? So Obama said, back in 2013, he said this. He said, well, this is something that I have struggled with throughout my presidency. The problem is that I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed. Do you understand what's going on here? La Raza and the other left-wing radicals, foreign enterprises, all of them, are now directing the president to act in an illegal manner. And they're expecting the people to just roll over to legalize the 35 to 40 million illegal aliens and all of their relatives simply by the stroke of a pen. He does not have the authority to do that. He never did have the authority to do that. No president has such authority. We live in a republic, not an empire. And let me remind you of something else. If you push your congressman or woman or Senate to impeach him, you're falling into his trap. It does not take impeachment. And I heard about the defunding idea. Wonderful. That's all well and good. That's not the way to go about it. That's juvenile thinking. You go about it the way Mr. Bush 1 was stopped with an executive action. I told you about it last week three times. Bush 1 passed an executive order on something to do with stem cell research. Well, it was nullified by Congress, and that was the end of it. They wrote another law nullifying the law. Now, of course, Obama will veto any law that Congress may pass in January. I'm talking about in January, not while the skunks are still in power. Forget the left-wing skunks who are in power right now. He writes a bill. He grants amnesty through executive order. Come January, no, don't wait 8 months. Don't wait 8 days. Come on, Boehner, get off your behind. Do it on January 2nd. You write a new bill which nullifies his executive action, overrides it. So Obama then vetoes that bill. What happens after a president vetoes a bill passed by Congress? It goes back to Congress for a full vote. Now, how many Democrats are going to vote with the president for amnesty, knowing that in 2016 many of them will be up for re-election, and moreover, they have a president that they want to put in power? The answer is most of them will not go for amnesty because it's the most unpopular thing in the United States of America right now. That's the way it should be done. But they're not paying me $1.5 million like they paid Gruber to advise them. How come the dumb, stupid Republicans are nothing but clowns with clown shoes? Why don't they come to me for my advice when I've written so many books? I'm a brilliant strategist. I know exactly what must be done, and I can give it to them for free. Instead, they're going to pay some moronic consultant, which will tell them to go along with the president. All right, I've given you my opinion. I'm not going to beat it to death. There's only so much I can do and so much I can take. This wheel is heavy. Pushing this wheel around is really getting to be pretty heavy, given the forces of friction that we're facing, all of us, to save what's left of this beautiful republic. I know people who cry over this country. I think of the many veterans, especially the older ones, who have flags in their house, who remember men they left behind on the battlefield, and I don't know in which war, who, as they listen to this show and others, are sitting there with tears in their eyes, not understanding how this country had been hijacked by a group of radicals to the extent that the enemies that they fought are less radical than the enemy inside the administration right now. The enemies that they fought would not dare do many of the things that this radical administration is doing to us on a daily basis.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You already discredited CNN. Ran a headline after the attacks on the Jews in the synagogue in Jerusalem today that said, underneath, you know, they run a script underneath the story. As the mayor of Jerusalem is condemning the murders, they run this headline, deadly attack on Jerusalem mosque. Jeff Zucker, this is Michael Savage speaking to you. You're a shame to your family. You're a shame to the Jewish people. And if you had any self-respect, Zucker, you would have retired a long time ago. You've not only destroyed a network that was once decent, you've destroyed all credibility that was left of the scintilla of credibility that was left. Shame on you, Jeff Zucker. Obama responds to the Jerusalem synagogue attack by saying too many Palestinians have died. This is amazing. I mean, it goes on like this, on and on and on. On and on, doesn't stop. And by the way, with regard to Ferguson, you know what's agitating me? Even Fox is doing it. Even Schlepper Smith, on Schlepper Smith's show on Fox, he's running a picture of Brown showing him as a 14-year-old youth. Why are they all showing a picture of the guy who was killed, Brown, as a 14-year-old? Why don't they show a picture of him as he was around the time he was caught shoplifting and fighting with the cop? I don't get it. Why would Schlepper Smith continue to show the propaganda picture put out by the rioters in Ferguson? Tell me why. How could Schlepper Smith have any credibility after this? What's happened to the media? Has it gotten worse than it's ever been? Has it gotten even worse that a guy like Schlepper Smith on Fox News, that you think is conservative, would run the picture of the kid who was killed? When he wasn't a kid, he was like a giant, a man, a big man. What are they showing the 14-year-old kid's picture for? Anyway, What do you want me to do about this? We're at war. The world is at war. It's going to get worse in the 2 years that remain under the president's regime. If you think what's going on now is bad, oh, you're right, but you've seen nothing yet. When you see what this left-wing academic is going to do to this country and the world, I would say this is one of the most difficult shows of my 20-year career. There is so much horror in the world right now that it is difficult even for me to balance the act. And let me tell you something. It's bad enough that two subhuman Palestinians with axes and knives and guns hacked to death four unarmed Israelis during a morning prayer service. It's bad enough that the subhumans did that. But what's even more insulting and more difficult for me personally to bear was the speech by the demonic president of the United States of America. And I choose my words very carefully. I don't know what it's going to take for Jewish liberal voters in America to awaken to the fact that they are not represented by the Democrat Party. They're not represented by Barack Obama. If you listen to the speech of Hussein Obama, where he doesn't say Palestinians did this, and he not once says Jews were butchered, instead he uses the moral equivalency of the academic left. The moral equivalency of the academic left, which is being used in Ferguson, Missouri, where the thuggish thief is being compared, morally compared, with the police officer who fought for his life. Wherever you turn, the illegitimate academic left has perverted the language and perverted morality itself. So listen now to the deceitful snake in clip three.
Just make mention of the horrific attacks that took place in Jerusalem.
Attacks?
We know that two attackers sent
attackers, not Palestinians.
Innocent worshippers in a synagogue,
not Jews,
during their morning prayers. Obviously, we condemn in the strongest terms these attacks. A number of people were wounded, and four people were killed, including three American citizens.
If you deconstruct what the snake just said, you have to ask yourself, how much more does he have to do until he finally tells you, in no uncertain terms, that he's playing for the other side? I mean, what has to happen? 855-47282. Did you hear me read about the Anti-Riot Act? Now, yesterday I said that the governor of Missouri has every right to arrest the protesters, the violent ones, in advance of the Ferguson decision. And people said, Mike, are you against freedom of association? I said, of course not. But there is a law on the books called the Anti-Riot Act, 18 U.S. Code 2101, which makes it a crime to travel or to use interstate communication, including social media, to incite a riot, to organize, promote, encourage, participate in, or carry on a riot, to commit any act of violence in furtherance of a riot, or to aid or abet person, any person, in inciting or participating in or carrying on a riot, or committing any act of violence in furtherance of a riot. So, in fact, Obama could arrest these agitators. He knows who they are. I didn't say everyone. We know who the violent ones are. The Black Panthers said there's going to be violence, didn't they? Didn't the Palestinians say that they want violence down there? Many groups have said they want violence and there will be violence. In fact, they're playing the old 60s game of saying we don't want violence, but there's going to be violence and we won't be able to control it. I know the game well. I lived through the 60s. You say, Michael, come on, be realistic. What can I, an ordinary woman out there who works for a living, what can I do? What do you want from me? I have to work every day. I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of some kids. I don't know what to do. I've done everything I can. Well, I'm going to tell you that it has to be almost on a supernatural level. I know this sounds absurd, and I know many of you think that maybe I'm not pragmatic enough for this world, and maybe that's true. I'm pragmatic enough to have helped this soldier get reunited with his dog. How is that possible? And that's because there was a collective consciousness, which I'm going to use a hippie phrase from the 1960s. The collective consciousness is more powerful than you could ever imagine. If you could understand what I just said to you, we have the power to change the course of this nation. We just did it last week at the ballot box. The problem is we're stuck with a maniac in the White House who has no respect for the people or the Constitution. None whatsoever. But there's a way to deal with that as well, and that's through the collective consciousness. And that is by understanding he can be stopped through the legislative process. As I described over and over again, it doesn't require any violence. It doesn't require morons breaking windows and attacking police. It requires motivating that drunk in charge of the Republican Party to stop drinking and start doing the people's business. It's that simple. So I think about these things day and night. I know people who are younger than me and pretty healthy, and they tell me they can't think it. They can't take the pain they're in every day. They say that's all they think about is what he's doing to this country. Flooding America with Muslims, for example. You want me to get into that subject? You want me to go down that road? You haven't watched enough of Homeland to know what he's doing there? Now flooding America with illegal aliens, many of whom are physically ill with diseases, immigrants and epidemics. Bringing Ebola patients to America when they never should have been brought into this country to begin with. You have altruism, so you build hospitals in Africa. You have a desire to help Africans? Fine. Build clinics in Africa. Send the do-gooders over there to work with them over there, and then quarantine them before they come back here and infect others. But you don't bring Ebola patients here unless you're crazy. That violates every rule of epidemiology. I've told you that. So they say, what can we do with a man that is so single-mindedly out to destroy the country? And they don't know whether he's doing it on purpose or he doesn't know what he's doing. I said, it doesn't matter. Do you understand this? So there's a lot of topics that I want to talk about, and we will talk about them slowly but surely. Do you know how much it costs to treat that one Ebola patient in New York City? $20 million. That one Ebola patient, that selfish doctor from Doctors Without Borders who came back sick, cost the city of New York more than $20 million. That's a single Ebola patient. So now what's going to happen when he keeps bringing in Ebola patients to treat here and the disease spreads? Where's that money going to come from? No problem. The emperor will write a check, your check. Climatologist says a 30-year cold spell strikes the earth. And he's the real McCoy. He's a former space shuttle engineer and a NASA consultant. He's not one of the green gangsters, the descendants of Don Corleone, now in the green business. And his new book has come out, and he says that we're entering a 30-year cold spell. Did you know that our defense secretary, Hagel the Bagel, directed a nuclear-free activist group? Did you know who this man actually is? You know how I've been complaining about the purging of our military, the firing of our top combat generals, the trumped-up charges against our nuclear command? Do you know why this happened? Because Hagel, the so-called defense secretary, served on the board of a George Soros-funded group which advocates a nuclear-free world. Plowshares opposes America's development of a missile defense system and gives money to scores of anti-war groups critical of U.S. foreign policy and military expansion. It gets worse than that. So now we have a defense secretary handpicked by George Soros, put in there by Obama, who is decimating our military right in front of our eyes. So you say, there's too many problems, I can't take it. How many things can I deal with? Well, if I can deal with it, you can deal with it. I'm only a man. How can I balance all of these balls in the air? How can I, a single man, balance all of this for you? The answer is, what else is there to do? What do you want me to do, take up golf? What do you want me to do, learn how to play golf to satisfy the American dream? The fact of the matter is, we're at war. This man has declared war on America from the day he became president. He declared war on a constitution from the day he became president. He declared war on America, and he is conducting it as though it's a war, surrounded by Axelrod, Valerie Jarrett, and the other secret hands. He's conducted a war on our borders. Would anyone argue with that? Would anyone prove to me that Obama's not been at war on our borders, language, and culture? Show me how. Can anyone listening to this show and tell me that he's not been at war with the U.S. military? A war on the middle class? A war on American medicine? A war on our civil rights? A war on science? A war on our schools and a war on our allies? Is there anyone listening to this show who could argue to the contrary? Well, I would guess that if you could argue to the contrary, you would have written the 300-page book that counters my truths and stopped the coming civil war. But nobody has written such a book, by the way. And that's why I wrote the book. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. The big news today is Obama's infuriating response to the cold-blooded murder of four unarmed Jews inside a synagogue in Jerusalem by two armed Palestinians who entered with axes and guns and knives and cut them to ribbons before they were shot dead. What did Obama say? He said, "Too many Palestinians have died. I'm not making this up." In a statement delivered to the White House press pool, President Hussein Obama responded to the Jerusalem attack by declaring, quote, "Too many Palestinians have died," close quote, as well as Israelis. I will tell you right now that Obama is not only working for the other side, I think he is the other side. I mean, there's nowhere I can go with this other than to tell you that at a time like this, you would think he'd step aside from his biases, but his biases show during times of crises more so than ever. The Jerusalem terror attack is a story we should not forget because it proves that the Palestinians will not live with the Israelis in peace, and B, the idea of a two-state solution is a myth. There is only one solution, and that's a single state. Of course, Obama in 06 says, "I've stolen ideas from Jonathan Gruber." Jonathan Gruber, you know who he is, don't you? Rand Paul is wrong. He says, "Take Obama to court over executive amnesty," meaning take it to the Supreme Court. It'll take too long to go that way. Eric Holder continues to fan the flames in Ferguson, Missouri. They all want it to burn, baby, burn. Meanwhile, the enemy within continues to call for massive protests nationwide if the police officer is not indicted. It's unbelievable to me that there has been no grand jury finding and they want this white policeman hung before the evidence is presented. On a minor note, one of our local con men, Al Sharpton, has real money problems. You know what they are? He doesn't pay taxes, rent, and other bills, according to a report in Politico. Did you hear that? Sharpton has more than $4.5 million in tax liens against him and his businesses. His nonprofit National Action Network owes $1.1 million in overdue payroll taxes. He has repeatedly not paid hotels, travel agencies, and landlords. Did you hear this? He has even relied on friends in his nonprofit to pay for his daughter's education. He has been sued twice by his landlord for a cumulative $98,000. And just think, he's an advisor to President Obama. Birds of a feather flock together. Meanwhile, in the midst of all of this mess going on around the world, the most important thing for you to know is the Republicans are clueless and flat-footed. What are they voting on today? The Keystone XL pipeline. That's the biggest issue on their plate. Not amnesty for 30 million to 50 million illegal aliens that will change America for the worse forever. My friends, the power of the purse to stop Obama on amnesty is a myth. There are two ways to stop executive orders, and I've discussed them on the Savage Nation repeatedly, and you can find a sound bite on this on michaelsavage.com. But I also discuss it in my chapter on his attack on our borders, language, and culture in Stop the Coming Civil War, now 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. And by the way, one of my listeners bought a copy of my book and sent it to his congressman and asked this congressman to read the book to see my scholarly analysis of all of the crimes and misdemeanors committed by this administration, so that the congressman could educate himself as to, A, what the crimes are, and B, what to do about it. And I thought, what an interesting idea if my listeners were to go out and buy a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War and send it to their congressman and senator. We just might create that collective consciousness to change the course of human history that I have been talking about. Meanwhile, in Israel, gun controls have been eased for self-defense. The Palestinians are passing out candy in the streets to celebrate the Axe attack. They're calling it a religious war. CNN called it a deadly attack on a mosque. Can you believe this? An Israeli tourist has just been attacked in Brooklyn, called a dirty, bloody Jew. Oh boy, it's getting bad. Orthodox Jewish man attacked at Brooklyn train station in apparent hate crime, called a dirty, bloody Jew by his assailants, one of which beat him with his own umbrella in Williamsburg at the Marcy Avenue station before 4 p.m. on Monday. The three fled on a Manhattan-bound train after a bystander intervened and also was attacked. Oh. Now, why is all of this happening? Why is there so much unrest in America and in the world? I could do some finger pointing, but you know where all the fingers are going to point. Let me conclude this monologue with what I began with. How did your president respond to the Jerusalem murders, where four unarmed Jews attending morning prayers were hacked to death and shot to death by bloodthirsty throwback Palestinians? Our president said too many Palestinians have died. I conclude my case, ladies and gentlemen. His middle name is Hussein. That's all you need to know. Thanks for listening, and God bless America.
Savage.